Our first scripture reading for today is from Psalm 103, and we will read this responsively. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget all his benefits.
Who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases.
Who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy.
Who satisfies you with good as long as you live.
So that your youth is renewed like the eagles.
Here ends the reading. The congregation, please rise. Doing a spiritual practice of having a little bit of quiet time before we have the reading. So we will now have roughly 30 seconds of quiet time to center ourselves and to kind of calm down for the reading of the gospel. Gospel reading according to Mark, the first chapter. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. Just then, there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed, and they kept on asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." At once his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. As soon as they had left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sunset, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered around the door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place. And there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." He answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring towns so that I may proclaim the message there also. For that is what I came out to do." And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. A leper came to him, begging him, and kneeling, he said to him, "If you choose, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said, "I do choose, be made clean." Immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. After sternly warning him, he sent him away at once, saying to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded as a testimony to them." But he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the word so that Jesus could no longer go into a town openly, but stayed out in the country, and people came to him from every quarter. The Gospel of the Lord. The congregation may be seated. I believe we'll now have a choir hymn.
So I asked specifically for the choir to be able to sing after this reading because as I was thinking about a choir anthem for this weekend, one thing that I couldn't stop thinking about was how would these people feel that were witnessing this love of Jesus for the first time and healing their loved ones? And all I could think of was how much they would feel that amazing love from Jesus. So that's what this song is about.
Anybody want to come? Okay. How's everybody doing? All right. You want to sit in the front row? Okay, so I've got a question for you. How many of you have ever colored before? All right, how many would say that you're an expert at coloring? Okay, we've got some experts. Okay, so it's been a long time since I've colored, and so I need some help, okay? So I was going to color this picture of these three kings here. Does it matter which color I pick? Some say yes, if I want it to be real. Okay, so what if I pick purple? Is purple okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, purple's okay? All right, so does it matter how I hold the crayon?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter? So if I hold it like this, that's okay?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm gonna color. Does it matter if I stay inside the lines or go outside the lines? Doesn't matter. Some say we should stay in the lines. Okay. So we've got a little bit of a different opinion here, don't we? But you're all authorities on coloring, right? Yeah. Okay. So I can trust you that for some of you it would be okay to stay outside the line or stay inside the lines. But some of you say I can't go outside the lines and I got to be careful about which color I pick. Right, so it might be a little bit confusing to know which authority I should listen to, right? Which one of you is really the true authority on coloring? So who are authorities in our lives? Who might be an authority?
God.
God would be the authority that I'm looking for. And why would God be the authority for us? Okay. He's our Heavenly Father and reigns over us. That's a great answer. What else might a reason that God would have authority? You don't have one? Okay. The reason I think God has authority is that God created us and created this world. So we know that God knows how this world should work. And so we can go to God for the answers that we need. So just like we could go to you guys and get answers about coloring that might be varied and not sure about which answer is right, we can know when we go to the Bible that God gives us the authority and the answers that we need. And one of the most important things about God's authority is that he tells us that he loves us. Just like that last song said, that Jesus loves us. So let's say a prayer. Dear Jesus, we thank you for loving us, and we thank you for giving us the authority to tell others that they are loved by you also. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, thanks for coming up. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. So I actually want to go back to something that Brian read and talked a little bit about last week, and that is Jesus' temptation. So in the first part of chapter 1, Jesus is baptized by John the Baptist and then by the Holy Spirit is driven out into the wilderness and is tempted by Satan. In the Gospel of Mark, that's about all there is of the temptation. In the Gospels of Matthew and Luke, what happens in those is that they both tell a little bit of the story of what happened. Jesus is tempted three times. The first temptation is that he's tempted to take stones or rocks and turn them into bread so that he could feed his hungry body. Jesus responds to Satan with the authority of Scripture. And then after that, they go to the highest point of the temple, and Satan tells him to jump off, and the angels will protect him. And again, Jesus responds with Scripture, the authority of Scripture. And then they move on to the next temptation. In the next temptation, Jesus is up on the mountain, and Satan says, "Bow down and worship me, and I'll give you all these kingdoms." And once again, Jesus responds with the authority of Scripture to Satan and says, "No." And then in both Matthew and Luke, it says that Satan left him. In the Gospel of Luke, it says that he left him to wait for a more opportune time to tempt him. In the Gospel of Mark, there is no such line about Satan leaving him. It just says he was tempted, and then the angels came and ministered to him. As we look at the Gospel of Mark, what we see is really a battle narrative between Jesus and the power of evil. All through the gospel, we are seeing the power of evil come at Jesus. Satan never leaves him. He's always right there, right now. Jesus then comes back from the temptation in the wilderness. He picks some of the disciples. And then we begin our story for today, where Jesus enters into the temple or the synagogue, which would be like a local church. The temple was the main worship center, but synagogues were each town's or village's worship area. Jesus enters in and he starts to teach and to preach. And the people say, "What is this? Some kind of new authority? He doesn't teach like the scribes." It's not like the scribes. So, any thoughts on how the scribes would have been speaking? Anybody got a good idea that you want to come up and share with me? So even if you did, you're not going to raise your hand. So sorry about that. The way that the scribes, the way that I understand that they taught, was that they would essentially reference other people. So, for instance, if I was a rabbi preaching in the synagogue, I might be going along and say, "Well, now, if we're trying to figure out exactly what was meant by that text, one of the things or the places we could go to would be to Rabbi Jennifer Johnson and find out what Rabbi Jennifer had to say about that. And we remember what she said and how important that was. And if we're still not sure about that, we could consult with Rabbi Brian, and Brian might give us some more insight onto that and help us to understand that better." And into today's world, we would see this very easily when we look at even like a Encyclopedia Britannica or some theological books today. They all have footnotes that this is referencing this book or this a study or this thing that happened. We are referencing somebody else. And it happens all the time. So what Jesus was doing that was so much different was he was saying, "I say to you." We get an example of that in the story today. The demonics in the church here, or the synagogue, hears Jesus begin to speak, and what does he say? He says, "What are you doing here, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." And Jesus responds with, "Be silent." He doesn't invoke anybody else's authority. He just says, "Be silent and come out of him." Jesus speaks on his own authority. Doesn't need to reference anyone else. As we move through this text, we see Jesus go to Peter's mother-in-law's house. And there, once again, he doesn't really say anything, but he grabs hold of her, isn't afraid to touch her, being someone who is sick, grabs hold of her and lifts her up. And she is made well. And we see it again with Jesus and the leper. The leper comes to Jesus and says, "If you choose, you could make me well." And Jesus says, "I choose. I will." And as we look at the stories that will be coming in the Gospel of Mark, we hear it over and over again where Jesus says, "I say to you," or "Truly I say to you." Jesus speaks on his own authority, and it is done. So we might wonder, what good is that authority today, and how does that make a difference in our lives today? Today we had a little bit different confession and forgiveness. Did anybody notice? Few people noticed. And one of the lines in there, as we get to the part where we are being forgiven, says, "As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare unto you the entire forgiveness of all your sins." It's different than just saying your sins are forgiven. We're saying where the authority comes from. We're saying that the authority doesn't rest within ourselves, but the authority comes from Jesus Christ and what he has done and who he is. Jesus' authority. So, in forgiveness. Now today, we don't necessarily, in the church, have a whole lot of exorcisms. We don't worry a whole lot about demonic possession today. It's not in the forefront. But as I thought about our lives today, and what controls us, or what holds us captive, I think a lot of times what happens for us is negative self-talk. So negative self-talk would be, "I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy to be doing whatever it is that I'm doing." You can fill in the blank. Whether you're a kid doing math, not good enough to do math, just not gifted, and I'm going to flunk this class, and we can let that spin out of control. It may be that I'm not talented enough to do something, whatever it might be, in our job, and say, "Well, I've never been good at that. We'll let somebody else do that." It may be that that negative self-talk has originated when we were young, from our parents or from our friends, saying things that's like, "Well, you know that you really aren't able to do that. You know, maybe your sister, your brother can do that, but you're not quite good enough to do that." Maybe isn't said, but it's maybe felt. So many times we let that negative self-talk take us to places that we shouldn't go. Because as we think about who we are and whose we are, we're reminded in Scripture that we were created in the image of God. That each of us is created in the image of God. And if we are created in the image of God, that is an amazing thing. That we are blessed with gifts and talents. That we are amazing people. We've also, in Scripture, been reminded that we are forgiven and that we are worthy. We are made clean through Christ. See, Jesus, in his authority, is the one who puts us into the place that we need to be and need to be understood. See, so often we go off in the wrong path. We let that negative talk take us to places that we shouldn't be. And that happens when we think about our lives and in terms of what we need to be forgiven for. I believe Satan reminds us continually of the things that we have done that we've made mistakes in. He gets that self-talk going. You really think God can forgive you for that? Really? He can maybe forgive other people, but probably won't forgive you. And we begin to question God's grace. We begin to question again if we are enough or if we are worthy. But as I think about Christ's words and his authority, we are reminded that we are enough, that we are forgiven, that we are children of God, that we are created in God's image, and that we are worthy of love. So as you run into people in your lives, and you see someone who needs to be forgiven, remind them, by the authority of Christ, your sins are forgiven. By the authority of Christ, you are created in the image of God. By the authority of Christ, you are worthy. By the authority of Christ, you are loved. God sent his Son, Jesus, into this world to show us his love and to bring us forgiveness and to bring us new life. And by his authority, you can know that that gift is for you.